What do you believe? Why do you believe it? By Albert James Dagher. In the world of ideas, particularly religious ideas, everyone has an opinion. At one time, religion and philosophy were somewhat confined to particular cultures, cross-pollinating with one another on a limited basis through land travel. In latter times, due to the influence of mass media and the world having shrunken into a global village through the means of rapid transportation, every form of belief has found itself vying for the attention of many people across cultural and geographic lines. And while strong efforts are underway to bring about a unifying of the world's population for the sake of peace, the fact remains that one's religious and/or philosophical beliefs are integral to one's personal identity. Many will die for their religious beliefs. Many will separate from their families. Many will sacrifice their jobs or other means of temporal security. Some will even kill for their religious cause. But few can offer a reasoned explication for why they believe what they believe and what drives them to an impassioned defense of their beliefs. Most people believe what they believe not because of empirical evidence for sound reasoning, but because of an emotional attachment to their belief system, for any number of reasons. The world's major religions comprise the bulk of humanity's belief systems. These are Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism, and Islam. Most all religious systems are either part of these major religions or can trace their roots to them. Other than primitive pagan religions, there are few, if any, religious systems that are not part of these five major players. Within each are myriad disciplines, often at odds with each other. Religion is largely tied to given societies. One cannot reject his societal religion without tearing himself away from that society at a high cost. Judaism exacts a stiff penalty for anyone who becomes a believer in Jesus Christ. Among some, funerals are held for such who are considered dead. Even in largely Christian societies, there is a price to be paid for straying from their national religion, most notably in Roman Catholic societies. On the world scene, Christianity is fractured into many diverse disciplines whose religious traditions revolve around the person of Jesus Christ and little else. Within the Christian religions, he is held to be anyone from an enlightened man to God incarnate. All the world's major religions have their subsets and sects within sects. Out of this mishmash of ideological posturing, one would expect to find the truth. Who is right? And who is wrong? What is truth? This question, the Bible tells us, was asked of Jesus by Pontius Pilate. Skeptics still ask this question today. In some respects, it is understandable that skeptics would arise in the face of so many philosophies and religions that claim to possess the truth. With all those voices clamoring for the attention of some 6 billion people, it would be confusing to anyone trying to sort things out for himself. If there is such a thing as objective truth, reality for reality's sake, regardless of what men think, obviously, not every religious tradition can be true. All may be false, assuming that objective truth about God, man, and nature has thus far eluded mankind. But only one can be true if, in fact, that objective truth has been revealed to mankind. The question is, which one? Even within the various religious traditions, only one faction can possibly be true, or at least more true than the others. But again, which one? It is not the purpose of this discourse to outline all the belief systems of the world and compare them tenet for tenet. Rather, it is to cause those who listen to it to think objectively about what they believe, and to examine in their hearts why they believe what they believe. This must assume an honest heart on the part of the listener. A heart that is willing to give up everything and everyone that stands in the way of following the truth. But before we can do this, we must first of all establish whether or not there is such a thing as objective truth. Truth that exists on its own apart from the subjective reasoning of men. Is it possible that things are as they are regardless of how you or I think they are? To know the answer, it is necessary to offer empirical evidence one way or the other. Through the ages, skeptics have arisen who question the reality of truth. They would say that truth is relative to what one perceives it to be. Everyone has his own truth, and no one's truth is superior to anyone else's truth. To them, I would say, prove it. But no less would I say, prove it to those who insist that there is objective truth. How do you know that what you believe is true unless you can prove it to be true? As we address these questions, let us keep in mind that we are speaking of truth as it relates to philosophy and religion. Temporal facts are temporal facts. True science deals with things as they exist and which are unchanging. Objective, measurable facts. Philosophy and religion deal with issues of life, present and eternal, and living. How we behave ourselves toward other men and God, regardless of whom we perceive him to be. Relativism. Let us first deal with the skeptic who insists that truth is relative. To do this, we must use reason. If someone does not believe in reason, there is no use even trying to convince him of anything. He is stuck in neutral, trying to head uphill. We have no time for such. Let him go his own way. For those who are reasonable, but who have bought into the belief that truth is relative, again we ask, why do you believe that? Do you know where the idea of relativism started? Do you know the character of those who earlier proposed the concept? Historically, the first clear statement of relativism was posited by the sophist Protagoras, as quoted by Plato, quote, "The way things appear to me, in that way, they exist for me. And the way things appear to you, in that way, they exist for you." End quote. What Protagoras was saying is that there is no separate or objective truth apart from how every individual sees things. Therefore, there can be no falsehood. If this is true, then the concept itself is an objective truth, which disproves the concept at the outset. The best a skeptic can say about his belief is that he thinks it's true, but cannot say for sure. Otherwise, he would be stating an objective truth by saying it's true. As I responded some years ago to a skeptic's insistence that there is no such thing as objective truth, "Then what you're saying is that you can't be sure of anything." To this he responded, "That's right." My logical next question incensed him. "Are you sure?" He had no answer and left angry and frustrated. In the area of reason, it is impossible to state with authority that there is no such thing as objective truth. For in doing so, one states what he believes to be an objective truth. The best he can offer is a statement that he thinks that it is true. But if that is the best he can offer, why should anyone submit to his philosophy? If you are one who thinks that objective truth does not exist, then you have bought into the philosophy of Protagoras, and you don't even know the man. Why do you believe him? And regardless of how many other men through the centuries have chosen to believe Protagoras, they have done so on no other basis than their subjective reasoning. There is no empirical evidence to suggest that Protagoras was right. In fact, the evidence suggests otherwise. To believe that there is no such thing as objective truth is to believe in nothing. And if one believes in nothing, one has no business trying to convince others that he is right. How can he be right if he doesn't believe in anything being right? Whether or not he is right or wrong in what he believes, at least the person who believes in objective truth can confidently say, It's true. But the one who denies the reality of objective truth can only say about what he believes, I don't know if it's true or not. Enough of this. Anyone who wishes to continue in the irrational belief system of skepticism is a fool, regardless of how wise or intelligent he may perceive himself to be. Ultimately, we may ask him if he really is intelligent or if he only thinks he's intelligent. He can't answer that either, so we will leave him alone. What do you believe? Now, for those who at least believe that there is such a thing as objective truth, let us posit some questions that beg objective answers. Why should I believe what you say is true? What indisputable evidence can you offer to prove that your belief system is true? Of course, you may ask the same of me. And if you are patient enough to endure my inquiry into your beliefs, I will answer you. What you do with my answer is up to you. You may accept my reasons or reject them. Just be sure you know why you accept or reject them. I have already faced the same questions I am asking here, so I am comfortable in asking them of others. Let us start by addressing the major reasons why people believe what they believe. I was born into my belief system. Quote, I was born a Catholic, Buddhist, Muslim, Mormon, etc., and I'll die a fill in the blank. End quote. Why? Quote, because. End quote. Why because? Quote, because I want to be a fill in the blank. I take it on faith. End quote. What is faith? And whose faith are you relying upon? Quote, the Bible, Quran, Bhagavad Gita, Book of Mormon, etc., says so. End quote. Who wrote that book? What makes him, them, right? Quote, it makes sense to me. It seems reasonable. End quote. So what? Relativism makes sense to others, and every religion makes sense to its adherents. Are you not being a relativist to make such a statement? You can see where this line of questioning can lead, to a dead end or to one taking stock of his reasoning processes and embarking upon the road to genuine objective truth. Arguing that one was born into one's beliefs is characteristic of the many who adhere to any belief system. But is it sufficient reason to believe the tenets of any of those systems? I was born into Roman Catholicism. Does that make Roman Catholicism the only true church as it claims to be? Obviously not. And any honest Roman Catholic from the Pope to the most ignorant layman will admit such. This is why any religion or non-religious philosophy must indoctrinate its adherents into its unique belief system. So what if you were born into a Baptist family? More people are born into Buddhism and into Roman Catholicism. If you hold to your traditions merely because your family held to them, you are not concerned with truth, but with comfort, and you are risking your eternal destiny. I am not saying you are wrong. I am saying that in order to be right with a good conscience and an honest heart, you must be able to prove you are right. What proof do you have? I was converted into my belief system. Who converted you? Why did you believe them? What indisputable evidence did they offer to convince you that what you believe is true? Quote, it made sense to me. End quote. So what? Quote, I could feel it in my spirit. End quote. How do you know you have a spirit? Quote, everyone knows you have a spirit. End quote. Everyone? Are you sure? How do you know you're not just flesh and blood that one day will die and cease to exist? Quote, I just know. End quote. Many Christians say they have a witness in their spirit through the Holy Spirit that they are in the truth. Does that prove that what they believe and practice is true? Mormons say they believe what they believe because they have a burning in the bosom that convinces them. How do you know they aren't right? Quote, maybe they are right, end quote. If so, then you are wrong. Are you sure you weren't converted into your belief system because it just sounded good to you? It gives me peace. Listening to some types of music can give peace. Walking in the woods or along the seashore can give peace. There are many avenues to peace. Every religion offers the prospect of peace. But such peace is a subjective feeling. It is not proof that what you believe is true. What happens when that peace is shattered by circumstances? I have seen God, love, truth, at work in my life through my church, religion, belief system, etc. How has God, etc., worked in your life? Have you been slain in the spirit, healed of a sickness, experienced euphoria through the worship music? In many churches today, feelings have become the basis for truth. Yet experience is the primary criterion for belief in virtually all belief systems, Christian and non-Christian. Many even engage their adherents in religious exercises in order to induce feelings of euphoria and an altered state of consciousness that leaves them on a spiritual high. How do you know your belief system is true and others which offer the same experiences are not true? Do you believe your church has the truth because it teaches belief in supernatural healing? So do New Age practitioners. Does your church believe in speaking in tongues? So do many Catholics, Mormons, New Agers, Hindus, and adherents to other religions. What experience do you offer to prove that what you believe and practice is objectively true and pleasing to the God or any other philosophical or spiritual authority you claim to follow? In the final analysis, experience proves nothing, for the mind is capable of self-delusion, interpreting experiences within the framework of desired consequences. One wants to be healed and the symptoms of one's illness disappear, at least for a time. The assumption is that one is healed. But if one believes in supernatural healing, then one must also believe in the spirit realm through which that healing allegedly occurs. Clinical studies have demonstrated that prayer and meditation are equally effective in speeding up the healing process for the sick or injured, regardless of one's belief system, who or what one prays to, or what one meditates upon. Given the evidence that healings occur within the context of many diverse philosophical and religious disciplines, then reason dictates that truth is not necessary to the implementation of healing or other seeming miracles, signs, and wonders. This does not mean that truth is not evident in some of these phenomena, but it cannot be evident in all. There must be other factors at work besides a God of truth. Almost every argument for why people believe what they believe is subjective. Actually, there can only be one truly objective reason for belief in any religion or philosophy. The basis for that religion or philosophy must possess objective character that exists on its own merits. It's interesting that subjectivity is the basis for believing in something that claims objectivity. Does God exist? Let's face it. The bottom line of all philosophy is the attempt to prove that either God or gods exists or does not exist. One cannot be a skeptic and yet believe in God or anything else apart from what he can observe through his natural senses. But while one's natural senses may be trustworthy in addressing the physical universe, they cannot be trusted for assessing spiritual truth. This is why the skeptic cannot believe in objective truth beyond what his senses tell him. He assumes, subjectively, that man is the highest form of life in the universe known to man. If man is the highest form of life in the universe, then man can determine for himself what he wants his truth to be. Therefore, all forms of truth are equal to one another. Even the New Age axiom, all truth is God's truth, cannot be true, because it is predicated upon subjective truth, which is nothing more than personal opinion, not any empirically provable objective truth. The equation falls apart when someone else's truth infringes upon the truth of the skeptic. If someone's truth is that robbing the skeptic is perfectly all right, the skeptic's truth would be offended. And if the skeptic's truth is true, then mankind is at best left to his own devices for determining how he will be governed. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see the anarchy and chaos that would arise and has arisen under the skeptic's terms. Yet this does not prove the existence of God or any other entity that may be superior to mankind and who may set the rules by which the human race must live. Perhaps religion really is just an invention of man for the purpose of controlling society and perpetrating hierarchical authority. After all, virtually every society throughout history has predicated its moral judgments upon a religious foundation, however true or false that foundation may be. Protagoras aside, skepticism really began to take root only as late as the middle of the 19th century. It was when the common man was able to read for himself and books began to be published on a wide scale that skepticism gained sufficient adherence to influence society. Up until that time, there were few non-religious people. Skepticism had no basis as a viable force. Yet, obviously, there was a sufficient number of people ready to receive that new truth as evidenced by its increase in the mainstream of human affairs of late. With the publishing of Darwin's Origin of Species in 1859, many in the scientific world embraced the idea that man exists as the product of natural selection through survival of the fittest. Even today, after many of Darwin's theories have been proven erroneous, his evolutionary theory is stated as a matter of fact not only in scientific journals, but in the mainstream press. It is not unusual to see in newspapers articles dealing with archaeology or paleontology written as if evolution were an established fact rather than a still unproven theory. Statements such as, "When man came down from the trees of his ancestral primates," abound as if they are not even subject to question. Yet there has been no indisputable evidence to prove the theory of evolution. Even if evolution were a fact, such treatment of it is dishonest until it is proven to be a fact. What has caused mankind to largely accept the atheistic, agnostic skepticism of evolution and subjective truth while still claiming to be religious and to believe in a god or gods? Could it be that in their hearts the majority of mankind wants the best of both worlds? To believe that God exists so that man can have the assurance of eternal life or some form of existence in the hereafter, yet be free to live his life as he pleases without having to answer to the God in whom he professes to believe? Does this not explain the condition of the churches today? While claiming to believe in God, they deny the Bible's authority, even though the Bible is the foundation upon which the churches have based their belief systems. I'm speaking of the Christian churches. Non-Christian religions have their own problems with which to contend. Yet, if the Bible has no authority, then God has no authority because the Bible claims to be the Word of God to His people, and there is no authority regarding the God of the Bible apart from the Bible itself. And if any part of the Bible is untrue, then it cannot be relied upon at all. But this is the degree to which skepticism has taken hold in the hearts and minds of professing Christians everywhere. So we are still left with the question, does God exist? And if He does, what is the basis of proof for His existence? Or has He left us clueless?